Okay, so we're recording. Sorry about that. So we're going to be speaking tonight about if a minor was counting Sfira, and then he became bar mitzvah in the middle of the Sfira. So the shaila is, can he continue counting as an adult with a bracha? What's the issue? The issue is because the first half of the mitzvah, as he was counting, let's say he became bar mitzvah on day 10. So day 1 through 10, he's been counting as a katan, as a minor. And now he wants to continue counting as an adult, where he's only fulfilling the half the mitzvah as an adult. So the question is, can you combine the fulfillment, the first half of the fulfillment as a katan, with the attempted fulfillment that he wants to fulfill now as a gadol? Before we get into, so to speak, the kishkes of the shaila, of the question, let's review some of the things that we talked about last week. So last week we brought a Tosfos in Menachos. So Tosfos in Menachos, Samach Vav Amud Aleph, a famous Tosfos, Dibra Maschil Zeichel Amikdash. So let's read the Tosfos together. Hecha deshochach lispor balayla. If a person forgets to count Sfira at night, you're supposed to count at night. Posak Bahag. So the Bahag, the Halachas Gedolos writes, Shesoifer b'yoyim, that he should count the next morning. That should be soif pirkin. And that's what it appears to be at the Mishnah at the end of the Perek in Menachos, because it says mitzvasoi balayla liktzor v'imniktzor b'yoyim kasher. So the mitzvah of counting the Sfira is linked in the Chumash with the mitzvah of harvesting the barley for the Omer sacrifice. So we're counting the first day to the Omer, the second day to the Omer. What was the Omer? The Omer was a barley offering that was brought on the second day of Pesach. We harvest it the night before, and we offer it the next day in the Beis HaMikdash. And the Torah links the mitzvah to count with the mitzvah of harvesting. So Tosfos in Menachos says a very interesting thing. Can I fulfill the mitzvah of counting the following morning? Because it's linked in the Chumash to the harvesting. The harvesting of the Omer, of the barley, was supposed to have been done the second night of Pesach, the night of the eve of the second day of Pesach. That's when you're supposed to harvest, and that's when you're supposed to start counting. If I neglected to count that night, can I count during the day? So Tosfos says you could, because the Mishnah says later that b'diyeved, after the fact, if you didn't harvest that in the evening, you can harvest the next day. So even if we establish the link between counting and the harvesting, but the harvesting, b'diyeved, after the fact, could be done the next day as well. So just like you can harvest the next day, I can also count the next day. That's what Tosfos says. I will mirror the Rabbeinu Tam Iker, but Rabbeinu Tam holds that the Iker, the main Mishnah, is Idach Stama Demastisin de Perek Sheni de Megillah. There's another Mishnah that's not in Meseches Menachos. It's a Mishnah in Meseches Megillah, and the Umaisi Lavisoif Pirkin, and the Gemara brings it in the end of the Perek in Menachos, Kol Halayla Kasher Litziras Omer, that you can only harvest the Omer the entire night, Bidaikina Mino, and the Gemara infers in Megillah, Dektani Laila Dumya Diyom, that the Mishnah compares all of the mitzvahs that are supposed to be done at night to the entire list of mitzvahs that are listed in that Mishnah that should be done during the day. So for example, you're supposed to perform the bris milah during the day, or certain karbanos are offered during the day. You're not allowed to do it at night. If you would do a bris milah at night, it would be invalid. So the Mishnah there says that the ketziras ha'omer, the harvesting of the omer, should be performed at night. And for example, bris milah should be performed during the day. So the Gemara there infers that just like the mitzvahs that are supposed to be performed during the day, they must be performed specifically during the day. So too, the mitzvahs that are listed to be performed at night must specifically bedafka be done at night, and you would not be yoytzeh during the day. So it's actually a contradiction. There are two opinions that are in the Mishnah. The Mishnah in Menachos says that b'diyeved, after the fact, you can harvest during the day. So just like you can harvest during the day, you can count during the day. But the Mishnah in Megillah that seems to say that you must harvest at night, and if you didn't harvest the barley at night, then you blew it, you ruined the mitzvah. So too, you must count the night before. You cannot count during the day. So actually, in halacha, in order to accommodate both of these opinions, what we do is we count. If we forget to count at night, we count during the day. That's why in shul, if we remember the old days when we used to go to shul, in shul they would announce the next day what day of Svira it was, right? So, for example, this morning they would say, today is the 27th day. We would count without a bracha. And the reason we're counting without a bracha, in case someone forgot the night before, let's count during the day. Now, it's a machlokes between the Mishnah and Menaches, if that's a fulfillment, because the Mishnah says you can harvest during the day as well. And the Mishnah in Megillah that says that the harvesting of the Omer must have been done the night before. So too, you would not be able to fulfill the mitzvah during the day. So we count misafik to accommodate both opinions without a bracha. Tosfos continues in Megillah. Tosfos brings the opinion of the Bahag. And the Bahag says that if you forgot to count that night, you should count the following day without a bracha. The Bahag himself says that when you count the following day, we're not sure if you're fulfilling the mitzvah, so count anyway, but don't make a bracha, and at least it'll hold the place of the counting, and it'll enable you to continue counting the following night. And you'll be allowed, it'll enable you to continue counting with a bracha. So if I ever forgot to count Svira at night, I should count the following morning without a bracha, because it's not clear that I'm fulfilling my mitzvah with the counting of the morning. But what the counting of the morning does accomplish is that it'll be a placeholder. It'll enable me to continue counting with the bracha the following night in the proper time. Now, the Yaivitz, that's Rav Yaakov Emden, I put in brackets. So he points out that there's a bit of a discrepancy the way the Bahag, the way the Halakas Gedolos is quoted. Because in Menaches, it's quoted that you can count during the day with a bracha, because he compares that to the harvesting that could be done during the day. It's a fulfillment of the mitzvah. However, the Bahag in Megillah, he cites the Bahag. Tosfos in Megillah cites the Bahag that you can count during the day without a bracha, because it's not clear that you're fulfilling the mitzvah. So there's a bit of a discrepancy there, what the opinion of the Bahag is. Okay, let's move on. We'll come back to this perhaps a little later. Oid pasach behalachas gedolos. Now this is what we saw last week. The Bahag also paskins she'im hipsik yom echad v'leisofar, that if a person interrupted his count, he did not count at all, he didn't count the night before, and he forgot to count the following morning, so he missed the whole 24 hours, shuv einu sofer, he can no longer count at all, yishum deboy tmimais, because the count has to be complete. And then Tosfos concludes, we talked about this last week, that Tosfos says it's inconceivable, it's impossible. Tosfos argues on the Bahag very strongly. So the Bahag says that if you miss an entire day of counting, then you blew it. You can no longer count with a bracha. You have to count every single day. If you forget one of the days, then forget it. You cannot continue counting with a bracha. You can count. No one's going to stop you from counting, but you cannot count with a bracha. You can no longer recite a blessing because you can no longer fulfill the mitzvah. But Tosfos vehemently argues, Tosfos says a very strong expression, Tema gedola. It's baffling to say that you have to count every single night, and if you miss a night, you can no longer count. It's a tema. It's a wonderment. It's baffling. The lo yitachin, it's inconceivable. So it's interesting that Tosfos argues so strongly on the Bahag. So now, in Oys Dalid, I summed it up. The Bahag holds you can only fulfill the mitzvah of Svirasa Omer if you count it every single day, because of tmimus, because it has to be perfect. Tosfos sovered lo yitachin, Tosfos holds that that's inconceivable, it's incorrect, and you can fulfill the mitzvah every night, even if you neglected to count one of the days. Now, we explained last week that the conventional understanding of the dispute between the Bahag and the Tosfos is whether or not we treat the counting of the 49 days as one long mitzvah. It's like a lulav and an esrog and a dasim and a ravis, that there are components of the one mitzvah. So it's one big mitzvah. How many mitzvahs do I get for counting the 49 days? If I successfully count all 49 days till the end of the Sphira, till Shavuos, how many mitzvahs did I get? So the conventional understanding is that according to the Bahag, you got one big mitzvah. It's 49 components of one big mitzvah. According to Tosfos says it's 49 independent mitzvahs. So according to the Bahag, if you missed a day, there's no way to fulfill this one huge big mitzvah. For example, if I don't have an esrog, there's no point in taking the lulav because you can't fulfill the mitzvah with only half of the mitzvah. It's all or nothing. So if you forgot a day, you cannot fulfill the mitzvah. But according to Tosfos, if I successfully count the Omer, I got 49 mitzvahs. Because every single night, to count tonight, to count tomorrow night, they're all independent mitzvahs that are not dependent on one another. And therefore, you can fulfill the mitzvah with either one. That's the conventional understanding of the argument between the Bahag and the Tosfos. Lahalacha, so we mentioned this last week, that the Shulchan Aruch paskens in Taf Pei Tes 489, that we have to concern ourselves with the opinion of the Bahag. So what do we do? We do that if we forgot to count, so the we continue counting, so try to count the next morning. If you even forgot the next morning, continue counting in order to accommodate Tosfos' opinion that every night is an independent mitzvah, but don't make a bracha because we have to accommodate the Bahag just in case we can no longer fulfill the mitzvah. So what's recommended, if a person forgot one of the days, you should continue counting and you should listen to someone else making the bracha. That's the recommendation. And that's the machlokes. Now, the Minchas Chinuch asks the following question. Now, let's quote, let's learn this together. Let's read the holy words of the Minchas Chinuch in item Vav. In item Vav. So if we can highlight the Minchas Chinuch in item Vav, let's read it together. Ach ani mesupik l'shita zu. So says the Minchas Chinuch, I have a doubt, according to the opinion of the Bahag. Im hakatan, if you have a minor, a child, af al pi she'enu chayif, even though the child is a minor, and he's not obligated in mitzvahs, mikol makom mana k'derech hakatanim, but naturally, the katan has been counting the omer. The way katanim do, the way children are trained to do, everybody tries to do the mitzvah. So the minor, he was 12 years old, and he's been counting the Sfiras HaOmer. Let's say he counted the first 10 days, even though he wasn't technically obligated to, because he was a minor, he was a katan, but he's counting. Ube emtza, and in the middle of the Sfira, in his gadol hakatan, he became of age, because now he became bar mitzvah. Imechuyev min haTorah, limnois begadlusoi b'shana hahi. Would he be Torah obligated, biblically obligated, to continue counting that year, right? So let's say, smack in the middle of the Sfira, so the Sfira is 49 days, let's say he becomes bar mitzvah at day 25. So the first half of his count was done as a minor. He wasn't obligated. There was chinuch, but he wasn't obligated. He wasn't Torah obligated. The second half of the Sfira, now he's an adult. Now he's Torah obligated. So it turns out that he's fulfilling half the mitzvah as an adult and half the mitzvah as a minor. Can you combine those two halves? And would he be obligated to continue counting from a Torah perspective? That's the Minchas Chinuch's question. Now, he's only asking this question according to the Bahag, because according to Tosfos, each night is a separate mitzvah. So of course, even if I didn't count at all the previous nights, I would be obligated to count tonight as a to do the mitzvah for tonight. The question is, according to the Bahag, that it's one big mitzvah, and he's been fulfilling the mitzvah as a minor, could he continue counting, right, as an adult? Can you combine the first half with the second half? So let's see how the Minchas Chinuch expresses the question.
What is he actually being mekayim?
According to Tosfos, he's being mekayim the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer, because every single night is an independent mitzvah. So even if we consider he'll make a bracha, because even if we consider what he's been counting until now, even if we discount that because he's a child, now that he's an adult, he has a mitzvah to count every single day independently. Even if he forgets some of the days as an adult, he would be obligated to continue counting according to Tosfos. So the Minchas Chinuch's question is addressed to the Bahag. According to you, Mr. Bahag, that you hold that the whole Sfira is one big mitzvah, and if you forget a night, then you can't fulfill the mitzvah. So this child who's been counting as a minor, does that count? Is that count recognized by the Torah in order to be a fulfillment of the Torah kiyum, of fulfilling the mitzvah midaraisa, right? According to the Bahag, if you forget a night, if you forget a day, you can no longer count. You can no longer fulfill the mitzvah. This child has been counting. But on the other hand, the original counting, what he's been doing until now, was as a minor. It wasn't on the obligation of a Torah. So perhaps that can't count. That doesn't help towards the fulfillment of a deraisa.
So a cotton that was trying to be Mekayim, but didn't make the bracha, when he became the bar mitzvah 2 weeks later, is he allowed to start saying it with a bracha?
So has he been counting until now?
He's been counting without a bracha, though.
That's okay. He could have made a bracha, right? There's no reason why a katan was counting without a bracha. He was allowed to make a bracha as well. But whether he made a bracha or not doesn't make a difference, right? If he wasn't counting until now, then pashtus, he cannot count. He cannot make a bracha now. But if he's been counting until now as a minor, that's whether he was making a bracha or not. It's immaterial. The question is, can he build his count as an adult upon the counting that he's been doing as a minor? Okay, is the question clear?
Yeah.
Now, just to emphasize, this question of the Minchas Chinuch naturally is only according to the Bahag. Because according to Tosfos, each night is an independent mitzvah. If I didn't count last night at all, I can still count tonight with a bracha. So a child is no different. Even if you disregard what he's been counting until now, he can continue counting with a bracha. The question is according to the Bahag. Because the Bahag holds that it's one big mitzvah. If it's one big mitzvah, he did not fulfill the mitzvah in its entirety as an adult. So can you combine the first half of what he's been doing as a child together with the second half that he wants to do as an adult? In short, can you build his mitzvah upon the building blocks that he laid as a minor? So here's the shayla. Mi neima, do we say the bechiyuv uptur tal yamilsa? It all depends if you were obligated or not. Bekivin shahaya patur, since the child was technically exempt, af shemana, even though he's been counting, mikom makoyin, kivin shemitzvah achasi, because according to the Bahag, it's all one mitzvah, umikoydim lo nischayim, and he wasn't obligated, gam ato enu chayiv min haTorah, so perhaps he wouldn't be obligated now either. Be'ein koyfin oyser linnois, and Bezdin, for example, would not force him, would not obligate him to continue counting. Because according to the Bahag, anyway, he can't fulfill the mitzvah in its entirety, because what he's been counting until now as a minor, so to speak, is not recognized because he wasn't obligated. Oy Dilma, or perhaps Kivin Shemana Afshahaya Biptur, since he counted, even though he was technically exempt. But since he counted, mikomakum leibatal hacheshbin, so I emphasized those words, I highlighted those words, leibatal hacheshbin, that the calculation, the count, is still maintained, akoponim chai mikan olaba, so he would be obligated from this point on. So now, if we look at the words of the Minchas Chinuch, it would seem that what he's saying is like this. Do we say that the Bahag, it's one big mitzvah, and since it's one big mitzvah, you cannot combine what he's been doing until now to continuing to count now? Or do we say that it's not one big mitzvah? It's just that the count has to be consecutive. In order to say that I'm counting day five, I had to have counted day one, two, three, and four. So since I counted one, two, three, and four, at least as a minor, even as a minor, so I did count those days, and therefore I can continue counting as we go further. Okay.
Does anyone argue that what even if the kid did not count when he was a cotton, for him in Metzias there are only, in your initial example, 24 days of counting. So once he's a bar mitzvah, he's mechuyev to do his tamimos
because he's counting
of those 24 days.
Because he's counting whatever's left for him to count. That's his entire mitzvah. That's an excellent point. So we're going to see at the end, there are those who say that. Yes, there are those who make that point. Yes, that's excellent. Okay, now, Tosfos in Megillah. So I quoted the Tosfos before Megillah. This is my diak, and I found people say this as well. Tosfos in Megillah, what did Tosfos say? Tosfos said that if you forgot to count at night, count during the day without a bracha, and that will enable you to continue counting with a bracha. So why don't I make a bracha during the day? The way Tosfos in Megillah cites the Bahag, why don't I make a bracha during the day? Apparently, because the counting during the day is not a fulfillment. If it would be a fulfillment of the mitzvah, I would make a bracha during the day's count as well. But I can't make a bracha during the day because it's not a fulfillment. Nevertheless, says the Bahag himself, this opinion of the Bahag, that it enables you to continue counting the Sfira from that point on. So it would seem, at least from Tosfos in Megillah, that it's not that it's one big mitzvah, it's that you need to count every day in order for my count to be a count. In other words, if I want to count day six, it's only day six in my count if I've counted day one, two, three, four, and five. If I missed one of those days, then you can't arbitrarily call this six if you haven't been building up until that point. So it just enables you to count. So the Bahag in Megillah, the way it's cited in Megillah, if I count during the day, although it's not a fulfillment, but it's, so to speak, a placeholder, at least you labeled the day as day five, and that will enable you to continue to count. So I would posit that according to Tosfos in Megillah, even according to the Bahag, the Katan's counting would count, would be recognized to be able to enable him to count, because the Katan's count, at least he at least at the very least, it's a placeholder to enable you to continue counting. It's not worse than counting during the day, which is also a counting that's not a fulfillment, but at least it's a placeholder. So it enables me to continue counting. So even the Bahag would agree that if the Katan's been counting until now, it can serve as a placeholder to enable you to continue counting. That's what I would posit according to Tosfos in Megillah. But the question on the table, the Minchas Tfilis question, is that if every day has to be a fulfillment, does the Katan's counting, does that qualify as a fulfillment because he was exempt? So what I want to do now is I want to bring some various Maariv Mekoyimus, various sources that are not directly relevant to Sfiras HaOmer, and I want to be able to compare and contrast what is the status of a Katan's mitzvah. If a Katan performs a mitzvah, does that count? Is that recognized as a mitzvah or not? We know the Katan is not obligated to do a mitzvah because he's a minor. He doesn't have das. He doesn't have enough sentience that we can obligate him to do the mitzvah. The question is, how does the Torah view the fulfillment of a Katan? If a Katan shakes a lulav, if a katan counts svira, if a katan eats matzah, is it considered to be a Torah mitzvah because he did the mitzvah? Or is it considered to be a voluntary act because he wasn't obligated? So I want to bring some far-fetched sources that we can use to reference, to bear on the question of svira se'omer. So here's a classic Gemara in Maseches Rosh Hashanah on Daf Chaf Ches Amud Aleph, and this is like the source that talks about if a person fulfills a mitzvah while he's exempt, does it count as a mitzvah? So here we go. In Eidon Tes, Isa b'Maseches Rosh Hashanah. There's a Gemara in Rosh Hashanah on the Chav Chesam and Aleph 28a. So Shalchu le'lavua de Shmuel. They sent a message, a letter to Shmuel's father. Kafoy, if a man was forced, v'ochel matzah, and he ate matzah Seder night, he ate it out of duress. Yatza, he fulfilled the mitzvah. So the Gemara says like this, Kafu man, what does it mean that he was forced? How was he forced? Ilema kafu shade, if he was forced by a demon, he was possessed, and he ate the matzah because he was possessed. So now whether you believe in demons or not, so maybe he was taken over by a demon and he was possessed to eat matzah. Or maybe you can explain this rationally, that he was delirious and he ate the matzah in a state of being delirious. However you understand the words of the Gemara, it's interesting because the Rambam is known to always try to overlook the statements in the Gemara that talk about Shadim and demons and things like that. So the Rambam says that he just ate the matzah in a state of being delirious. He lost his mind and he ate matzah in a state of not having das. The Gemara's expression is that he ate the matzah because he was forced by a demon. So it doesn't matter. However you understand this, he ate the matzah under some emotional or some, he lost his das, under some, he was delirious. So says the Gemara, the Hasanya, we have a Brisa. Now this is a very important statement. Itim chalim, if a person is sometimes normal, he's sometimes sentient, itim shoita, and sometimes loyalenu, he's a shoita. So a person has some sort of dementia. Sometimes he's focused, and sometimes not. Kishuhu chalim, when he's normal, harehu ki pikeach l'chol dvarav, he's a pikeach, he's normal, and he's obligated in the mitzvahs. Kishuhu shoita, but when he's a shoita and he's not obligated, harehu ki shoita l'chol dvarav, he's like a shoita regarding anything that happens. So says the Gemara, if this man ate matzah in a state of being delirious, now that he got out of that state and it became normal, he would not have been yotze. He would have to re-eat the matzah because he ate the matzah in a state of being delirious. So Omar Ravashi says that the case was kafuhu parsim, that the Persians, he was held at gunpoint for some reason. He was held at gunpoint and he was forced to eat the matzah. Whether the Persians knew that it was Pesach or not, it doesn't matter. Coincidentally, some non-Jews came and they forced him, you better eat this wafer, you better eat this unleavened bread. It happened to have been Seder night, and he ate the matzah in order to fulfill the command of the Persians, of the non-Jews, so he would fulfill the mitzvah. Says the Gemara, Amar Rava, Zos Omeris Hatukei L'Shir Yatzah. You see from here that if you're blowing the shofar because you want to produce music, and you happen to be producing the notes of a tekiah, a trua, and a tekiah, you would be yotze the mitzvah, because mitzvahs do not need kavanah. So it's a big shaila in the Gemara, if mitzvahs need kavanah or not, but the Gemara says that according to Avua de Shmuel, the Gemara says if you're forced to eat matzah by non-Jews, or whatever the circumstance was, in other words, you have das, you are sentient, but you were forced to eat the matzah coincidentally Seder night, you did not eat the matzah for the purpose of the mitzvah. You ate the matzah because you were forced. The halacha is you fulfilled the obligation according to that opinion, and the same thing would be by analogy, that if you blew shofar just to produce music, not to fulfill the mitzvah, and you happen to produce a tekiah, true and tekiah, so if that's what you were doing, although you were not intending to be yotze the mitzvah, nevertheless you were yotze the mitzvah. What do we see from the Gemara? We see from the Gemara that even if mitzvos do not require intent, but if you were delirious when you ate the matzah, you did not fulfill your obligation. We see from here a big yesod, we see from here a fundamental concept, that if you fulfill the mitzvah while you're in a state of being delirious, of not being obligated, that will not count towards when you get your das back. So now, if that's the case, seemingly, if a minor counted Svira while he was a katan and he wasn't obligated, so seemingly he would not be yotze the mitzvah vis-a-vis a gadol. And when he becomes of age, we would not consider it, we would not recognize the counting that he did as a minor. Just like if you eat matzah in a state of ptur, in a state when you're exempt, because the person was delirious, it doesn't count now that he got his das back. So too, if a person counted Sfira as a child, it would not count towards his stage of godless. Now, there's a very interesting Maran Chaviv. Could everyone hear me?
Yep.
Okay, great.
Yep, we hear you.
Says the Maran Chaviv. The Maran Chaviv says the following. In Sefer Trua, imagine if you have a katan, if you have a child who heard the tekiyas, he heard the shofar blowing on the first half of the day in shul. Then he becomes bar mitzvah in the middle of the day. So says the Maran Chaviv, what he heard until now in the morning as a minor does not count, and he has to rehear the shofar now that he's a gadol, this man chiyuva. Now you might be wondering, how is it possible to become a bar mitzvah in the middle of the day, right? Because his birthday was the night before. So the answer is obvious. So first of all, there are two answers. That we look at it that as soon as he becomes 13, he's bar mitzvah. Technically, it's not enough to be of age. You also have to have signs of puberty. So theoretically, you can have a bar mitzvah boy who does not yet show signs of puberty. He's not yet technically considered an adult. So let's say the pubic hair, let's say the signs of puberty didn't sprout until later on in the day. So he went to shul on Rosh Hashanah. He heard the shofar as a katan, and then he comes home in the afternoon, and he finds that now he became a gadol. Now his signs of puberty reached the criteria, so now he'd have to hear the shofar again. There's another opinion, which is a minor opinion. We don't hold like that. It's a das yachid, that when a person is born, let's say a baby is born at 1 p.m., so you have to wait to be bar mitzvah 13 years until 12:59 p.m. of the next day, because you need what's called me'es le'es. You need complete 13 years. Me'es le'es. Now, we don't paskin like that, but there are opinions who hold like that. That's not our psak. We treat, as long as the boy has signs of puberty, we treat him as a bar mitzvah upon the night of his bar mitzvah. But there is a das yachid out there that he's not a bar mitzvah until me'es le'es. So conceivably, you can have two different scenarios where the boy heard the tekiah shofar when he was a minor, and then he wasn't technically bar mitzvah until sometime later on in the day. Either because you hold like the opinion that you need to wait the complete 13 years me'es le'es, or more relevant would be that he didn't have the signs of puberty until sometime later in the day. So what do we see from this Maran Chaviv? Like we're saying, that the fulfillment of the katan during the time that he was exempt will not be recognized, will not obligate him going forward. Now, it will not fulfill his obligation going forward as an adult. Now, in Yud Aleph, there's a similar question. What happens if a child ate a meal, he ate bread, and he benched? Then he reaches of age before he digested the food, right? So now this can be, let's say he ate on the Erev of his bar mitzvah, he had a huge meal right before Shkia, and then all of a sudden he benched, and now there's Shkia, now he's a bar mitzvah, or like the example we gave before, he ate a huge lunch, he ate bread, he had a huge lunch on a day of his bar mitzvah, and then he benches, and then he notices later that he reached the sign of the puberty. Does he have to bench again? Because he's obligated to bench midoraisa, because he's satiated, he's full, the food wasn't digested yet, and the benching he did as a minor, does that benching count now that he's an adult? He didn't bench as an adult. He's satisfied as an adult, but he didn't bench as an adult. So Rabbi Kivager asks this question. It's fascinating. Okay. So we have two examples where theoretically he could have fulfilled the mitzvah as a katan, and now that he's a gadol, the question is, does that fulfillment last, and does that exempt him now in the state of godless? We're almost at Pesach Sheni. Pesach Sheni, I believe, is Friday, if I'm not mistaken, Friday, Thursday or Friday. We're almost by Pesach Sheni. There's a famous Rambam. The Rambam writes the following. Ezra, you quoted this Rambam before. Perek Hei Hilchos Korban Pesach Halacha Zayin. Says the Rambam, Katan Shehigdil Ben Shnei Psachim. So we paskin that Pesach Sheni, the second opportunity to bring a Korban Pesach, it's not related to the first one. So if you have a katan, if you have a child, at Pesach he was a child, he became bar mitzvah sometime before Pesach Sheni, is he obligated to bring Pesach Sheni? Because he wasn't obligated to bring the Korban Pesach the first time around. Is he obligated to bring the Korban Pesach now at round two? Because he wasn't obligated at round one.
But his brother did it.
Now he has another opportunity. Is he obligated to bring Pesach Sheni as an adult? So the Rambam says yes, he has to bring Pesach Sheni as an adult, because the mitzvah of Pesach Sheni is not dependent on Pesach Rishon. It's not to make up Pesach Rishon. Even if you were not obligated to bring the Korban Pesach the first round, now that it's round two, you're obligated to bring. However, says the Rambam, if the person's father brought the Korban Pesach on behalf of the minor, that will exempt him now by Pesach Sheni. So here's another example. That the Korban Pesach was brought on his behalf as a minor, because he was part of his family, and the father, the head of the household, brought a Korban Pesach on behalf of all the members of his family. So the katan was exempt, was covered by the Korban Pesach that his father brought at Pesach time. Now he's an adult, and the Rambam seemingly is saying that the bringing of the Korban Pesach as a minor will exempt him from the obligation that kicks in as an adult. That's the Rambam. So you see from here, from the Rambam, that the mitzvah performed as a minor does count towards his adulthood. So if anything, we have now like a contradiction. On the one hand, the Maram Chaviv says that if you heard shofar as a minor, you have to rehear the shofar as an adult. We have Rabbi Kiva Eger saying that if you benched as a minor, you're going to have to re-bench as an adult. But then we have the Rambam saying that the Korban Pesach that was brought as a minor will exempt you as an adult. So we have a contradiction. Now the Kesef Mishnah. Go ahead. Go ahead, Toby.
The Psukim in Pesach Sheni don't mention the cotton at all. At all. There's no hint.
That's correct.
There's nothing.
That's correct.
It only talks about Tumah and somebody that just wasn't able to do it.
Either you are on a Derech Rechaika or you were Tamei. Those are reasons why you were exempt from the first Korban Pesach, and then you bring the second Korban Pesach. So the Rambam is saying on his own that if you're exempt for any reason, let's say I wasn't exempt, let's say I deliberately did not bring the Korban Pesach Rishon, I was not on the way, I was not Tamei, I still make it up Pesach Sheni, right? It's not only... That's the Shaila, but I still have to bring Pesach Sheni. Right, so the Rambam is based on the Gemara. Those are exemptions from Korban Pesach Rishon. But even if you were not exempt, or even if you were a minor where you were exempt for some other reason, you still have Pesach Sheni. So Toby, you're making a good point, but the Chumash is talking about exemptions from Korban Rishon. Even if you were not exempt, or even if you were a Katan and you're exempt for obvious reasons, you are subject to Pesach Sheni. But the Chiddush of the Rambam is...
Isn't the Chov and the Chabura... You don't have to individually bring a Korban Pesach. You have to participate in a Chabura. The father did it.
So each person has a personal obligation to bring Korban Pesach. And if not, you're Chayiv Karis. And the only reason why you're Yotze with the Chabura, the Gemara says, because Shliach Shel Adam Kamoso, it was brought. It's as if you brought it because you have a Shlichus, right? So the question is that how... So Naniach, granted that the child brought it through his father. His father brought it on his behalf as a shlichus. Nevertheless, how could that exempt him for what he did as a gadol? So now the Kesef Mishnah asks it. So what I want to do is I want to just frame it now that we really have like a contradiction. We have like a discrepancy. Because sometimes it sounds like the mitzvah you do as a minor does not help towards the godless. And sometimes it sounds like it does, right? When it comes to benching, Rabbi Kiveger entertains the notion to bench again. When it comes to hearing shofar, the Maram Chaviv entertains the notion of having to hear the shofar again. What you did as a minor does not count towards your obligation as a gadol. The Rambam says that the Korban Pesach that was brought on your behalf as a minor does count towards the gadolus. But the truth is, the Kesef Mishnah on the spot asks it, Ikele Medak, how could the katan be yotze? He's not a bar chiyuba. The Kesef Mishnah asks this question, how did the Korban Pesach work that was brought as a minor? So the Kesef Mishnah answers, so it's sort of what you said, Dad. The Marie Korkis says the following. Since the Torah is Rabbe, the Torah specifically includes a katan, sheishchetu alav, or mimanin oisai, nifteru bekach min hasheni. So the Kesef Mishnah brings the Marie Korkis. There's a concept called selabes avos midoraisa. There's a concept that the family, it's sort of what you were saying, that the whole family can be yotze with one chabura, and the father has permission to register, to be memaneh, his family on his Korban Pesach. So the Kesef Mishnah says that the fact that the katan is exempt with his father's Korban Pesach is an exception to the rule, because the pasuk specifically includes sela beis avos. The pasuk specifically includes that you can bring the Korban Pesach on behalf of your family. So at this point, everything would be consistent. Really, what the katan does would not count towards godless. He would have to re-bench, like Rukiv Eger suggests. He would have to hear the shofar a second time, like the Marim Chaviv suggests. And the fact that he's Yotzi Korban Pesach is an exception to the rule, because the pasuk specifically includes a katan because of celibes avos deraisa. Dov, did you want to ask something before? Dov, did you want to... Go ahead.
I was going to ask Ruben's question, but I can elaborate on that more at the end.
Okay. Now, I found a beautiful svara in the Stipler in Meseches Brachos Siman Chaf Dal. The Stipler says like this. This would resolve everything. The Stipler says like this. I quoted it. Katan, afa pi she'enu mechuyev bedavar. A katan is not obligated. Hainu mishum. The reason the Torah did not obligate a katan, that's because he's presumed to not have das, right? He doesn't have sentience. He's not mature enough to command him to perform the mitzvahs. The reason why a minor is exempt is because he's not mature enough to command him to do the mitzvah. That's why he's exempt. Abel al kopanim, nevertheless, says the stipler, if he did bench, mitzvah deraisa ka'avid. We do recognize his act as a deraisa. What was our assumption? Our assumption was that since the katan is not obligated, so therefore, even if he performs it, it's a voluntary act. So the Rabbi Yaakov Kanievsky, the stipler, he makes a very nice distinction. He's not obligated beforehand, because the Torah says he's not mature enough to receive an obligation. We can't demand it of him. We can't expect it of him. But if he did it, it is recognized as the fulfillment of a mitzvah. We couldn't command him ahead of time, because how can you hold a minor responsible? But to the extent that he did it, it counts. The Kol Yisrael nitna mitzvahs, because the mitzvahs were given to everybody. The katan is begeder onus. If the katan does not fulfill the mitzvah, so we say the katan was an onus. It's not his fault, because he can't be held responsible. But to the extent that he performs the mitzvah, it counts as a mitzvah, since he did the mitzvah with das. And if he benches, it was recognized as a benching. Now, I saw the Igros Moshe, where Moshe Feinstein makes the similar point. Where Moshe Feinstein makes an interesting point. How come when a person grows up and he becomes an adult, why doesn't he have to go through some kind of a conversion process and accept all the mitzvahs, right? He wasn't obligated before, and now he is obligated. So Rav Moshe Feinstein explains, obviously, because he was obligated the whole time. Nothing changed when he became an adult. All that changed is that until now he couldn't be held responsible, because he's presumed not to have das, he's not responsible, he's not mature. But once he becomes bar mitzvah, he's automatically obligated, because he really was technically obligated the whole time. The exact svara that the stipler says. So Rav Moshe Feinstein says like this, Kivin dehaptur hu mishum she'enu ben das, because he's exempt only on account that he's not mature, l'chein kishe'oise mitzvah b'das, if he performs the mitzvah knowingly, harei ein l'hachshivai enu ben das. How can you say that he doesn't have das if he performed the mitzvah? The fact that he did the mitzvah is a demonstration that he has enough das to do the mitzvah. So to speak, we couldn't have commanded him before to do it, because we can't expect him to do it. But to the extent that he does it, he did it. His action is an action. It's true, he says, we're still going to exempt the katan the next time. Let's say the katan ate matzah this year. We're not going to say that since you were able to do it last year, you should do it this year. Every time we say that you're not mature enough to obligate you. But to the extent that you do it, it counts as a mitzvah. Because it's a gzeiras hakasev to say that the katan doesn't have das. We make a blanket rule that until you're 13, you're not obligated. But to the extent that you do it, it counts as a mitzvah. So based on the svara of the stipler, and based on the svara of Rav Moshe Feinstein, I think we can find a path that reconciles all the contradictory sources over here. So let's go through it. On the one hand, he benched as a minor. Kveger talks about benching again. The Maram Chaviv says, if you heard shofar as a minor, you have to hear the shofar again if you become bar mitzvah in the middle of the day. If you bring a Korban Pesach, if your father brings a Korban Pesach on your behalf, so the Kesef Mishnah asks, how were you Yotze? And he says, because Korban Pesach is an exception. And then we want to talk about what happens if the Katan counts Svira. So according to this, everything is perfect. Because the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, so let's look at Tezayin, item Tezayin. According to this, it would seem obvious that if the Katan benched, he would not have to bench again. Because the stipler and Rav Moshe Feinstein, they both say that to the extent that you perform the mitzvah, it is considered to be a full-fledged mitzvah. So the mitzvah that you did as a minor would count towards your adulthood because you performed the mitzvah. Now, the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah that says that if a person was possessed and he ate matzah while he was possessed, that's because he did not do the mitzvah deliberately. The Gemara says that he didn't have kavanah. He was just possessed and he ate the matzah. So the fact that he ate the matzah when he was snatched by the demon, that does not demonstrate that he was doing the mitzvah with das. So since he did the mitzvah when he was exempt, it does not count when he gets back his sentience, because what he did as a shoita doesn't count. Right? The Stipler and Rav Moshe Feinstein are saying that if you perform the mitzvah deliberately, then it counts. In the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, the reason why it did not count was because he was possessed and he didn't perform the mitzvah deliberately. Now, what about the Mari Korkis? Why does the Kesef Mishnah and the Mari Korkis, why do they ask that the katans, that the bringing of the Korban Pesach as a minor should not count towards adulthood? That's because he's not the one who physically brought it. It was his father who brought it. So again, the katan did not demonstrate that he has das. That's why they held that he should not be yotze. That's why they were asking against the Rambam that he should not be yotze, because he was a minor, he was exempt at the time. So how could the Korban Pesach that his father brought, how can that count towards his adulthood? And on that, the Kesef Mishnah answers that the Korban Pesach is a special exemption because he was included in his father's Korban Pesach. But the reason why that's an exception is because he did not demonstrate that he had das. But to the extent that he demonstrates that he has das, we could recognize his act as a Torah act. So therefore, coming back to Sfiras HaOmer, since the child has been counting the Omer the entire time, so we do, according to the Stipler and according to Rav Moshe Feinstein, he wasn't obligated to do so, because we look at it like he's not mature enough to demand it of him. But to the extent that he did it, since he did it deliberately with Kavana, that demonstrates that he had das, and therefore it would be recognized as a mitzvah. So even if we treat the Sfiras HaOmer as one big mitzvah, according to the Bahag, so according to this, what he did as a katan deliberately would count towards his godless as now that he's an adult. Now, Dad, you said this svara at the end. I found your svara in a sefer called Tzionim L'Torah. So the halacha is like this. According to, we don't paskal like this, but according to Rebbe Eliezer in the Gemara, when you build a sukkah, you have to stay put in the same sukkah for the entire 7 days of sukkahs. If you go from one sukkah to another, the halacha is you are not yotzi. We don't paskal like that. Rebbe Eliezer says you have to use the same sukkah the entire sukkahs. We obviously don't hold like that. We go out, we eat, we visit other people, we go to other sukkahs. But Rebbe Eliezer in the Gemara held that you have to stay in the entire sukkah. So Rebbe Eliezer himself says, though, that if somebody becomes bar mitzvah on sukkahs, or if a non-Jew converts on sukkahs, he would be obligated to fulfill the mitzvah, the remainder for the duration of the sukkahs, whatever is left of sukkahs. So this was the svar that you were saying before, that we see from the Gemara that even if it's a package deal, but it only starts from the point that you became obligated. So there are those who want to argue a new svara, that the mitzvah is only a mitzvah to the extent that you're obligated. So we have the mitzvah to count 49 days, but the katan, if he became bar mitzvah in the middle, so his mitzvah will be, from that point on, his mitzvah is shrunk into the remainder of the sphira. So just to summarize, if a katan becomes bar mitzvah in the sphira, would he be allowed to continue counting? So according to Tosfos, every mitzvah, every day is its own mitzvah. Therefore, he would be obligated to count. According to the Bahag, so arguably, someone could say that he cannot count because what he did as a minor is not recognized. However, it could be a placeholder. It could enable him to continue counting. And what we're saying now is even what he counted as a minor, it's very likely that it would be recognized as a mitzvah, and he would be able to build his Sfiras HaOmer on that counting as a minor. So halacha lemaisa, most poskim, the Aruch HaShulchan, most poskim say that you would continue to count even as an adult, although the first half he was only a minor. Okay, Yashikoyev. Shkoyev.
I see Rabbi Rabbi Lezer didn't read all the psukim about sukkahs.
Yeah, why?
says Basukos Teshu. You have your choice. You go here, you go there. It doesn't matter.
Oh, that's interesting. So Sukkos, right? So he has a drasha that the pasuk, it says Shivas Yamim Tasa Sukkah Shivas Yamim. So the sukkah has to be a sukkah for 7 days. That's his drasha. Yeah.
Yeah, it is. You could use mine. Mine's against the wall in the garage.
that's how we pass it.
May I ask a question on last week's shiur?
Sure.
If I saw somewhere a shita that it's true, if you miss day number three, you can no longer go 4, 5, and 6, but you could do 7 and 14 and 21 and weiter because those are complete weeks.
Yeah. Such a thing is brought like that. That it's there are those who say that counting days and counting weeks are two different mitzvahs. There is such a thing. We don't paskin that way. Mr. Bura does bring such an idea, but we don't paskin that way. It's
from the psukim. That's the psukim.
That's right.
Sheva Shabbosos Tamimos Tiyena. So that separates each week. Each Shabbos is separate. So that's why 7 is good, the 14 is good, etc., etc.
Yeah, I guess it was in the Mishnah Berurah. I didn't remember where.
Mishnah Berurah says such an idea. But we don't paskin that they're literally two separate things that can be worked into Tibet. So, for example, but what you're saying is true. It's very interesting. Let's say our minhag is that we count day 1, day 2, day 3, day 4. We get to day 7. So we say today is day 7, which is 1 week. And then when we get to day 8, we say today is day 8, which is 1 week and 1 day. Technically, you don't have to do that. Technically, you don't have to say again it's 1 week because you counted that week again. The next mitzvah to count the next week is when you complete day 14, right? Our minig is that we just keep doing everything every night, but it's two separate mitzvahs, and you wouldn't have to count the week the second. You're counting weeks. You're not counting the days. It's interesting. But we don't paskin that it's literally two separate mitzvahs, that you can make a bracha on the count of the weeks. We paskin that it's all connected. That's how we paskin. Again, sorry, Michael, I couldn't hear. Sorry, what?
The way say my name, Yemenite, make
right.
Taco.
Yeah.
Today is the 8th day of the Omer, which is 1 week and 1 day.
Right. I know, I've seen that. Yeah, I've seen that.
Well, Bear, what would be about a ger? Become a ger?
So very good. So the ger, very good. So Gidon, very good. So a ger would not be allowed to continue counting because, barring the last idea we said that when he converts, that's his entire mitzvah. Barring that svara, since he has not been counting until now, so he has not counted the entire 49. We're only saying this for a child because the child has been counting as a child. So the position we're taking is that he's been counting as a child, so therefore he can build his count upon that count. But a non-Jew wasn't counting at all, so he would almost certainly not be allowed to make a bracha now. He would just continue counting. He would count whatever he's up to without a bracha, as if he forgot a day. That's the halacha of a gear. Very good. Very good. Gidon, very good.
Yeah, Rabbi Felder in his Sefer Shemazar in volume Chelik Shlishi talks about what's pshat in Gershon Geyer Kikot and Shemel Adami.
Okay.
And all of the, it's a multi-page.
Yeah, it's a very long.
Very good. So I would say that a Ger should not make a bracha from this point on, but a Katan would be allowed to make a bracha. That's the minig ha'olam.
Is the same with the shofar and the
Pesach Sheni? So the shofar, Pesach Sheni is a Rambam, that if no Korban Pesach was brought on his behalf, he would be obligated to bring Korban Pesach Sheni, but if his father brought the Korban on his behalf, he would be exempt with his father's Korban. Now, the reason for that, even though the Katan himself did not demonstrate any Das, but the father has the power to exempt him from the Korban Pesach because there's a special inclusion in the Pasuk. That's what the Kesef Mishnah says. But for example, Shofar, right, he might have to hear the Shofar again because the fact that he was standing there in Shul might not demonstrate that he had Das. So that's why the Maram Chaviv says he'd have to hear the Shofar again. something that you're doing with your own initiative, then you have the Svara of Rav Moshe and the Stipler that you've demonstrated that you have Das. But something that you're passive and you didn't demonstrate that you have Das, then it's more likely that you'll have to redo it again. So I would say that if he benched as a minor, that benching will count for his adulthood. If he became bar mitzvah while he's still full, he ate 6 slices of pizza, and then he becomes an adult. So he's still full. So he would not have to bench again. But shofar, it's very likely he would have to hear again because
he takes her like 4 hours.
What?
You want to have it maybe with peanut butter?
So.
Okay.
Yeah. Givaldi. Larry Shkoyach. Okay. Okay. Yashik Koyach, everybody.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Good night. Don't forget to count your. Thank you, Ezra. Thank you. Shkoyach. Okay. Bye, Bob. Bye, Toby. Bye, Leo. Thank you, Leo. Thank you. Thank you, Dov. Lila Tov. Thank you. Shkoyach.
Shkoyach.
Yashik Koyach.